Joining us now from, I'm presuming, the Capitol this morning, State Senator Rich Dreheim. Senator, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, I'm in my office in St. Paul.
Have you left the office any time in the last week? Has it been constant something?
Yeah, it's been, you know, late night trying to put things together all week. And that's part of the frustration of how yesterday went down. You know, we had staff. I mean, I was talking to staff till 2 in the morning Saturday night. And then to have not much happen yesterday is really disappointing. You know, we worked really hard to come together, and we only got a few bills across the line. And, you know, at 9 o'clock last night, there were some social media posts that I thought were interesting from some reporters. The House had only been in session on the last day of the biennium 12 minutes all day yesterday at 9 p.m. And I don't, most people probably don't understand that a tax bill and the bonding bill have to originate from the House. And then depending on what kind of file it is, it has to come from the House in some cases. So, you know, tough way to end, but there is some good news. I mean, there was 20-some bills that I think the governor will sign. But my mental health package is one of them, and that is a big win.
Yeah, let's talk about, we're going to talk about what got done and what didn't get done. Let's start off with what did get done. As you had mentioned, that mental health package, I know we've talked about that many times over the course of the legislative session here. That did get through. Tell us, you know, what version of it? Was it the type of bill that you wanted to see? Is it doing the things that you would like to have done?
Well, the bill was a hodgepodge of other bills, like a lot of the subject matter bills that we do. You take bits and pieces from a dozen different bills and you put it together. This is probably the most bipartisan bill I have seen in the 6 years that I've been up here. It addressed a lot of different needs when we talk about mental health across the state. A lot of what we do is based on the county level. So we push it down to the counties. And unfortunately, the Governor Waltz's agency had decided not to fund some of the counties in some of their programs they were doing, and they were going to shift it to some other counties. And by all metrics, they were helping and they were succeeding. So we have a provision in here to fix that and adjust that and to say, hey, agency, if you're going to do this in the future, come talk to us so we can be transparent about it. The counties can know about it and the public can know about it. And then we have some school and mental health grants in there to help our kids. COVID has been very hard on our kids. And you talk to any teacher, they will tell you that. So we need more resources there. We did some mobile crisis grants. So this would be where professionals would be able to provide treatment in someone's own home. And for some, I think that's needed. They don't have to drive somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I can go on and on and on. There's probably about a dozen other provisions in here. Probably the biggest one that in my mind, there are a couple biggest ones. One would be the urgency rooms, which one of my friends across the aisle came to me and said, I had a constituent call me crying about their kid. They've been waiting days in the emergency room and haven't had anybody even come to talk to them about a mental health crisis.
Oh, boy.
So he wanted my help, being in the majority, to get this bill across the line and get it passed on creating what we call urgency rooms, where people, young people, would be able to go to a place and be evaluated so they could design a program or find the right help for them. And then the last piece I'll mention is competency restoration. So some people aren't competent to stand trial, and we can't jail them. We can't lock these people up. So what do? We let them out. We need to help these people that more times than not end up homeless. So we're trying to stop the problems that we're seeing in the media by being a little bit more proactive and trying to get these people, you know, the right medication, the right treatment, before they get on the streets and do harm to themselves or others. But I can go on all day about that. That's a great bill. Very proud to have gotten that through. It's probably the biggest bill that we got done here this week, in my opinion.
Good to hear. It's not the only bill that you did get done, though. You also got an ag bill done. Is that going to be signed?
Yes, it should be signed. And the important piece probably on that one is that it helps fund the avian flu relief and the agency's reaction. I think they've done a really good job reacting to and unfortunately destroying a lot of flocks of birds, but that slows the spread down. But, you know, we have migrant birds that come through twice a year. We funded this earlier this year, but you know what's going to happen this fall? The birds are going to start flying south. And then I think we'll probably have another uptick in this. So we need to make sure that there are resources. We're adding another lab for the Department of Ag. Their budget's pretty skinny, and they need to react. And part of that reaction is to do some testing, and they need another lab to do that.
Then
there's broadband on there, too. You know, with COVID last year, kids were working from home, trying to do their homework, and unfortunately, there's a lot of kids that don't have internet because we don't have access to a high-speed internet.
State Senator Rich Dreheim is with us. We're talking about the legislative session. We've talked about a couple of the bills that did get through. Let's talk about the stuff that's not going through. We have heard this week some optimism, I guess some guarded optimism that some things might get done. But as you mentioned, there's some big bills, Health and Human Services and the schools and funding there. Not through yet. Is it? Do you know much about these big bills that haven't gone through? And will there be? You know, what's the future? Are they just not going to do it if we don't get a legislative session?
You know, it was a lot of games being played, and you know, I think it was 10:30 yesterday that we actually got an offer for Health and Human Service within the framework that was agreed upon by all leaders. And when I say framework, I'm just talking fiscal. The money, the dollars, yesterday at 10:30, the House finally sent over an offer that was within the framework that was agreed upon. So, and then I don't know, I posted a video in the State Government Committee where the House chair was caught on camera telling the Senate chair that he has to pull back the agreement that they had agreed on and worked so hard to come to because he just got a call from the governor. And the governor killed their bill after they had agreed to it. And that kind of activity was going on all week. That's why things didn't get done. A lot of these bills, like I said before, have to originate in the House. The leaders came up with a framework of dollars, and we're not talking policy. Of course, we're always going to argue on policy, and we should debate that. But it's just frustrating when the governor interacts and puts pressure on some of these committees. So if you haven't seen that video, it's up on social media. It's on my site. It lays it out pretty good. The Health and Human Service bill really, really was important. We have a real problem in our group homes and our nursing homes. And the people that care for our loved ones that can't care for themselves, personal care attendants, we directed a lot of resources to that because we know we have a deficit. And I'm hearing from the nursing homes in my district that they're closing beds up for seniors or for people getting a knee replaced or a hip replaced that have to go to a nursing home, and they don't have beds for them because they don't have people to work in those. So very disappointing that there was games being played on that bill. It was really important. Should be bipartisan, and it wasn't.
Did the governor give, that you're aware of, any indication on why he pulled that back?
Yes, because there was two things in there that he did not like. One was on tape, what they call Zucker Bucks. So we had a provision in there prohibiting media, social media, from investing in elections and marketing for elections that would happen last time. Mm. So that was in there. And then the election judges to have a vaccine card were the two provisions he did not like. Hmm. So right now they're proposing that all election judges have a vaccine card. And we wanted to remove that. That was agreed upon by both the House and the Senate. The governor didn't like those two provisions, according to the video, and disappointing.
You know, another thing is schools and we're getting more money for them, the funding aspect of it. Is that...
Yeah, we had a large number on the schools. It was $1 billion. We spent all our money on pretty much three buckets. Special education, literacy, and mental health. And could come to agreement. So the cross subsidy that we've heard over Superintendent Hillman right there in Northfield has been, he came and talked to me. He sent me many emails asking for that. We had parents and teachers email out. So we made that a top priority once a budget number was set. But we couldn't get the House to go along with that. So nothing happened. Same with transportation. We had a transportation bill that would have dedicated permanent funds to auto part sales, 100% auto part sales to roads and bridges. And part of that money would have went to smaller towns, you know, towns under like 5,000, and townships. Because they don't get any funding. They normally don't have a big pot of money to pick from. And in my new district, I have 68 townships and a lot of small towns. So this bill would have been really important to them, that we would have permanent ongoing funding dedicated just to roads and bridges. We couldn't get that done. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right, what about a bonding bill? Of course, you're not obligated to have a bonding bill either, but it looked like that was going to be set to go through. Is that now dead in the water as well?
I think it is. You know, we had heard that they had come to an agreement, I think Monday or Tuesday, on a framework, pretty much giving, splitting the money in half. So that they'd had a large investment in what we call state assets. So we felt that with this little extra money, if we're going to do bonding, let's spend the majority of it on fixing what we have other than new projects. I think most of us feel that we got a lot of state buildings already. And when you look at the list, especially for the higher ed list. It's all roofs and air conditioning units that need to be updated because they're 30 years old. So that kind of thing is what we had in there. But unfortunately, that's another bill that we have to wait for the House to send over to us before we can act. And we weren't able to do that.
You know, the I guess the million-dollar question at this point is, what happens now? Is all this done? Is there going to be, do either sides really want a special election now? The governor has said he's not going to call one, but maybe he will now. Is that, any idea what's going to happen?
You know, it was obvious that they put the plow down not to have anything happen. So I don't, and all three, the House, the Senate, and the governor's office have all said publicly that they didn't want a special session. So I think it's not a budget year. We're headed into a recession. I think everybody agrees on that. You know, maybe the best thing, you know, is to wait till next year. We wanted to give the money back. We had a tax proposal that would have helped every working Minnesotan, would have eliminated double tax on Social Security. That was probably the most important bill the whole year, and that didn't get done. Once again, that had to come from the House. I don't think we need to come back. I think we can wait till January. Realistically, you know, 6 months from now, we can come back and address it. We have, in just the Senate, we have 24 senators retiring and not coming back. We'll have a new group of people with new districts representing. Let's let them decide on what to do and move forward. And we'll have a better sense of what the economic times are.
All right. Senator, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll let you get on with your day. I'm not sure if that's going to be a busy one at the Capitol or just packing up and going home, but thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it, Jeff. We have 22 speeches we have to listen to today. But I just want to thank you. Next year, I will not be in Northfield in my new district, but I really appreciate your time every week the last 6 years. And so thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator, and thank you for being with us on a regular basis during the session. Much appreciated. Your cooperation is much appreciated. Have a great Memorial Day weekend and a great summer, and if our paths cross again, be glad to see you and shake your hand.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. State Senator Rich Dreheim, that is 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.